Chief Chong Wan was pointing at the inside of one of the huge posts that held up the pagoda roof and protected the platform and console from rain. They had rigged mine spotlights on each post so that they spotlighted the platform's center.
At night?
He said.
They won't shine outside.
Johnny wanted to go over to the operations bunker, but the chief detoured him into a large underground room in the side wall of the bowl. It was nicely tiled and had a platform at the end for a speaker. It had chairs and would hold about 50 people. Very nice. Then Chief Chong Wan showed him a sample of 30 little apartments they had made for guests and visitors. They were in addition to pilot and personnel berthings. These Chinese engineers could certainly build in wood and tile and stone, particularly when assisted by cyclo machinery. Johnny was interested in gun emplacements all around that could cover the platform and the bowl interior. Given troops, the place could really be defended. But they did not have all that many troops. He finally got to the ops room. It was a busy place. It was a miniature of the one they had found in the American underground base. A huge map of the planet was in the center. As reports came in from the adjoining communications office, men with long poles were pushing about small lead models of planes and the war vessels in orbit. Enemy vessels were red with tags. Their own planes were green with tags. Stormalong was there in his white scarf, leather coat, and oversized goggles. He had two Buddhist communicators on either side of him, and they were talking into close-to-the-mouth microphones that excluded any speech but theirs. Their shaved heads gleamed under the two large headphones they wore. Johnny was told they were operating a planetary battle channel, used by Stormalong, and a planetary command channel, used by Sir Robert. The Scott War Chief had a 13-year-old Buddhist boy operating his channel. Nobody had to brief Johnny. It was all there on the big operations board. Singapore was really catching it. There was a lot of anti-aircraft being used at the Russian base. Dunaldin was flying air cover for Edinburgh. Thor was flying air cover for Kariba. Nothing was happening at the Lake Victoria mine site or any of the rest. But where it was hot, it was very hot. Johnny listened in to the babble on both battle and command channels. It was all in Pali, which he didn't speak. There was a third station manned by a Scot officer that was monitoring enemy traffic. Down at the end of the room, where there were some spare desks, Glenn Cannon was hunched over a pile of pictures. Johnny glanced at them. They seemed to be view screen runoffs of an air battle. The one he had when the Swiss was killed. Glenn Cannon had another stack, apparently just taken. They were of the huge monster overhead. Glenn Cannon seemed very agitated, his hands shaking. He had not really recovered from that courier run, seemingly, for Stormalong didn't have him flying. He didn't answer when Johnny spoke to him. The operations board was not good, but Johnny did not have anything to contribute. It was simply a slugfest. He wondered how long places not protected with atmosphere armor cable could hold out. Edinburgh was particularly vulnerable. A worry about Chrissy passed through his mind. He hoped she was safe in a bunker under Castle Rock. Sir Robert answered his question. Yes, they were all in bunkers up there. It was mainly anti-aircraft that was protecting the place. Dunaldin was taking care of strafing planes that tried to come in. The anti-aircraft was taking care of bombs. Johnny thought he had better look at this anti-aircraft they had here. He had never seen the cyclo guns in action. Not up close.